brotherhood. Sweet prayer.
Appreciate that prayer.
Amen.
Dear, sweet, humble prayer. And I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm glad to see all of you. And I'm just thankful to the good Lord for what we have.
Amen, me too.
Thankful. Like Brother Ron said, that he's given us a place and shown us a place where we can come and find some peace. There's a peace inside with God, inside his church, that you can't find anywhere else on this earth. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. It's not there. There's a peace with God that passes all understanding, where everything around you can be, everything naturally speaking around you can be at its worst. Where you could be at your lowest point, where things can look pretty bleak. But in the midst of all that, God can reach down and touch your heart and put a feeling of peace inside that says, everything's all right. Everything is okay because I am with thee. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you, and ultimately I will deliver you. I feel that, and I'm thankful that I feel that. And I have to remind myself of that feeling sometimes when I feel like just the little smallest thing has gotten me down. We change, the world changes around us, but our God changes not.
No, he doesn't change.
He is a constant, sure rock on which everything we have is founded. And everything that we need, everything that we have, everything that we are, is through and by him. And I need your prayers this afternoon. And I want to praise his name. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you what good things he's done for me. What good things I believe he's done for you. Why I believe you're here this afternoon is to come. You came seeking and hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. Because you know and we know that we have none of our own. But here, we can come here about a God who loved us so much that he gave his son for our lives, for our very lives. When we didn't want to have nothing to do with him, he gave his son for us and saved us. And not only did he save us in an eternity, he saved us right here and now.
Amen.
He saved us right now.
Right.
And he's given us light. He's given us his word. He's given us his instruction. And he's shown us how we're to live while we walk here. I'm going to wipe my eyes and I'm going to try to go to a scripture. And again, I ask that you please continue to pray for me. We need the prayers of each other. Here's what we need. We need the Spirit of God to be manifest and made evident in our preaching and in our hearing, because that is how everything takes place, is by faith in Jesus Christ. And through him and by him, we need him. We need his Spirit. We need to pray that he would just keep his Spirit here. Turn it to the book of Colossians. Third chapter, and I'm going to start at the first verse and read through verse 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That was Colossians 3, 1 through 17. And he starts, says, if ye then be risen with Christ. And if is not a if, it's not a question. It's a, that word if means since. So since you be risen with Christ, we are to seek those things which are above. What we have here, I believe, is Paul giving instruction to the church at Colossae, not about how to walk to become children of God, but because they are children of God, how they should walk. Not in order to get grace or receive favor, but because, see, it says, since, if, I read that, I've read that if so many times, I read it in my head, it just comes out as since, but that's how it reads. If ye then be risen with Christ, so since you're risen with Christ, we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ sits on the right hand of God because he completed the work of our salvation in full. He paid it in full, and in his resurrection he got the receipt. And he has finished his work, so he sits at the right hand of God. And since we are then risen, well, we had to be crucified with Christ too. Our sins dead. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 13 where it says, actually let's start at 12, because chapter 3 verse 1 says, since we were risen, but Colossians 2, 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, we were dead in our sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. So, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened, meaning he made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Yep.
Not some of them, not a part of them, not these ones over here, not this select group, but all of them, every one of them, every single one, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. We were guilty, brethren, guilty as charged, standing full of sin. And Christ died on the cross and paid our sin debt for us because he loved us. He loved us with an everlasting love. He made choice of us. He was faithful to us. He made promises to us. And he fulfilled them. Even when we didn't have nothing to do with none of that. We wanted nothing to do with nothing. But he did that. And then he's blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was what? It was contrary to us.
Sure.
Contrary to our nature. And he took it out of the way, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He's taken all of our sins. And he's shown us that. He's worked the work of grace in our hearts that's flipped the light on, that shows us how dirty and rotten and filthy and vile we are on our own, that shows us how much we have to ourselves, which is nothing, and everything that we stand in need of that comes from him. He's shown us that. He's shown us where we need to be. He's shown us where the food is. He's given us the food source and the water source here, right? We didn't just leave us here and say, go. He didn't just give us grace and say, go live any old way you want to. He didn't say, it's fine with me. A lot of times, people say, "You, what do you believe in?" I believe in salvation by grace and grace alone. Say, well, when did you know you found God? When I found out I was a rotten sinner. When I was made to realize that if it was up to me, I was going to hell. That if it was up to my goodness. That if it was, right? And then I realized it even more when it couldn't be Daddy's goodness either. Daddy's goodness couldn't carry me. Because you don't have any.
That's right. Amen.
But even as right as people looked at him to be, maybe it wasn't enough, was it? It wouldn't be enough. So that's when you know. That's how I feel like when I knew. And sometimes I knew that, and God said, this is how you ought to walk. And I heard it, and I didn't walk in it. I heard it. I was taught it. I was shown it. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And the Lord deals with us accordingly and mercifully and graciously. And when he picks you up and turns you around and says, boy, ain't you tired of being miserable? Ain't you tired of drinking from this fountain? It's not a fountain, it's a broken cistern. And ain't no water coming out of it. And you're over here sticking your face under it, wondering why you're thirsty. But in here, he's given us the living water, the bread of life, where we'll never hunger again, where we'll never thirst again. And we have the earnest of our inheritance today as we sit here in heavenly places on this Saturday afternoon here in Front Row. We are the little taste of heaven today. We have a little taste of heaven right now. Because I believe when we go to heaven, God's meeting is never going to end. No one's ever going to go home. No one's ever going to get tired. The song says when we've been there 10,000 years, won't nobody be counting. But we have no less days to sing God's praise. And that starts right now. It's been started. Isn't that great? Doesn't that make you happy? It makes me happy. It makes me excited. It makes me want to walk right, talk right, and act right. It is the only thing that'll make you want to walk right, talk right, and act right. My daddy could scare me to death. And as soon as I could get out of his sight, I'd do whatever I wanted to do. Well, that's Jonah. You can't outrun God. I won't preach that yet. But you read it. See where he tried to get to. Right? We try to, sometimes we think we can outrun the Lord. We think, because that's what man is. Prideful, sinful creatures that believes the world revolves around us. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? The Bible teaches we were put here for what? Our glory? No, His glory. That's why we were made. That's why we were saved. Let me get back up here. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We are to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I just got done telling you all the reasons why. For ye are dead, as we've been dead to our sins, because they were nailed to the cross. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. He's always present, and we're always in trouble. But we are hid with Christ in God. That's better than any insurance company you could ever have. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
That's a promise.
That's one day we don't have to worry about these old bodies not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because right now we're in a war. We're in a war with ourselves. We're in a war with our own flesh. Even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And it's a battle.
Sure is.
It's a battle. I have to do my best to try and call it in remembrance and pray that the Lord will help me. Because I can be gone in a minute, so can you, because that's what our nature is. That's why, but what does he say here? He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That's that stuff down here. That's that old fleshly nature that we have down here. These things that hinder us, that come to mind, that just what we contend with. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. How do we mortify? How do I have any ability to mortify my members? Well, see if I can find it here. Daddy, help me. Here we go. I thought I was it. Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. She says, but if ye through your own self, but if ye through all this knowledge you got, but if ye, it's only ye through the Spirit. That's how we have the ability to mortify our members. That's what God has given us through faith in Christ. The ability to exercise that and know the difference and make the right choice and the right step with God being our helper.
Amen. No other way.
Mortify therefore. That means that word mortify means not negotiate with it, not tolerate it, not put some salve on it, not cover it up with a band-aid, but kill it. Remove it. Mortify it. Take it out. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Daddy and I was talking about it the other day. We was on the phone. It's everywhere. Fornication is not just before marriage. Outside of marriage, fornication is just, it's all the way around. It's every immoral sin you can think of when it comes to that nature. And I'm trying to speak open and in love, but I want to tell you what it is. That's It affects every one of us, and it's everywhere. It comes through our television. It comes through our radios. It comes through our social media. The devil sends it out in mass. And sometimes we don't know what we're consuming until it's already halfway consumed us. Because we're sinners by nature, and we're prone to shiny things. And we like things that satisfy the lust of the flesh. I'm telling you, we all need to be careful. We all need to take heed in what we hear and what we listen to, what we hear, what we see, and how that affects our bodies and our walk. Again, when we start walking in the flesh and thinking on things of the flesh and satisfying the lust of the flesh, we'll find ourselves in that. But Galatians chapter 3 says, Galatians 5:16, Paul says to the Galatians, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." How do you stay led under the Spirit? Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Keep looking to the Lord. What does God say about it? Not what does Dr. Phil say about it. Not what does Dr. So. I know Dr. Phil's not a thing anymore. But take Dr. Phil's name out and put any man's name in. If it ain't Dr. God, you're in the wrong spot. That's just how it is. Mortify there our members. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. I look at inordinate affection as starting the devil's car, and evil concupiscence is driving it. There you go. In other words, inordinate affection is what your thought does. Right? You go out and start the devil's car, you're in a bad way, you're warming it up for him. Evil concupiscence, now you got an object of that affection that you know is against the rules. It's out of bounds, and you going for it anyway. And covetousness. That one hits me pretty good. Being a married man, I can feel like I don't handle nothing good. Let's just say that. Okay? I don't handle nothing good. But sometimes we overlook things we think we got all right. Some things we go like, you can't put that one on me. That covetousness, man, that hits me. Something awful sometimes where I get myself looking at somebody else's thing. Well, you know, I've been working for 30 years. I've been working for 30 years. Why don't I have that? Why is he sitting over here and I'm having to get up this morning? It's 10 degrees outside. I've been working for 30 years. You know what? I want to be thankful to the good Lord. He's allowed me to work for 30 years, and I better be quiet about it and get on back to work. That's what I better be doing, because he's been good to me. And I should mortify that member. I should be thankful that that brother is working in the heat. Right? That's how I feel. I ought to be thankful that he's making more money than me. I ought to be happy for him. Because God gave it to him, same as he gave it to me. So, you see where I'm going with all that, I hope.
Hitting home with me.
And covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Because things we want, once we get them, we stick them up on the shelf and we sit down and look at them and act like they did something for us. What did that thing do for you? Nothing. You went and got it. So guess what that makes it worth? Less than nothing. Pray for our nation. We're sticking a coin for a kid's game into our Smithsonian. I'm just saying, there's a lot more things as a nation we ought to be looking to, because there's a lot of God's people in this nation. And we ought not think that all of God's people is just little old sections of primitive Baptists that happen to show up on Saturdays, about 15 of us. No, there's God's people all in this world. And especially in this country, because God has been good to this country. Look at the history of the nations in the Bible. Look at them. Look at Israel. Look at Judah. Look at Babylon. Look at Assyria. Some of those places don't exist anymore. You know why? Because God wiped them out. Because God raises them up and God puts them down, because God is on His throne. And no matter what any man thinks, anywhere, in any place, God is the ultimate authority and always will be, has been from the beginning of time, and will be until He comes back again, and will still continue to be after that. It ain't never going to change with God. He's always going to be the top dog. And He sits, He's in the heavens, and none can stay His hand and say, "What doest thou?" I don't care how much money you got in your pocket, or what you got your degree from, or how long you've been leading in the country. The only reason you've been doing any of that is because God put you there. And we as a nation need to be praying for our nation and our people, that we would turn to God and look to God and beg for forgiveness and beg for mercy. Because we are disobedient and have been disobedient, and I've been part of it. I've added to it. How often have I? And bit right into it. God will judge us for that. He has judged us for that. Pray He will continue to be merciful. And I don't want to scare anybody today. I'm telling you, God's in charge. And He's going to protect His people. He's going to protect His people. But brethren, we need to pray for our country, because right now we can come and go, and we can come in here on Saturday afternoons. We can come in here on Sundays. We can meet on Zoom. Our internet works. We have everything real. God has been good to us. We haven't had to fight to send the faith. We haven't had to fight to preach the word. We haven't had to struggle like some of our forefathers struggled. Same God, no glory to them, but He's blessed us. Let's not sit around with our eyes closed and take it for granted and think it's always going to be here. And God, here I am, God, give it to me again. That ain't how it works. Pray, everybody, because God is merciful, and He is loving, and He is long-suffering. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I just told you about that too. We're all disobedient children, and God judges us in real time. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. When ye lived, past tense, in them. We've been called out of darkness into nature's marvelous light and shown how to walk, and we are no longer there, because we walked in that at some time when we lived in them, but now we don't. So now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I'm hard pressed to tell you that if I find myself talking about anything other than the goodness and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, most of the time what proceeds out of my mouth ain't worth listening to. 70% of that time I spend probably talking about work and fussing about people that don't. And it ain't worth listening to. Matter of fact, if you sat around and listened to me at work for maybe a couple hours on a day when I got 50% of my people call in, you'd be a miserable person. And I'd be a miserable person to be around you. Or you wouldn't want to be around me. Now, I'm not saying here's what I want to say. I want to clarify that now. I don't go around speaking everything you can't just say all the things you used to say when you walked like you did when times passed. Those were in times past. You may have been colorful in your language. You better bite that tongue now. We better bite that tongue. We better be cognizant of who we're speaking in front of. And that's not just Sister Lois or Sister Doris. That's Almighty God we're talking in front of every day, all the time. Even when you're by yourself in the car and that person cuts you off. You in front of God. We ought to be aware of what we say. We ought to be aware of what we think, but we really need to be aware of what we say. Because people can't hear your thoughts, but they can hear that sharp tongue when it spits out some venom. How many times have I regretted words that have come from my mouth in a well-placed intention? Because Brother Jim's so smart, he knows exactly what to say, because he's been through this before. He's worked for 30 years. Remember me telling you? I've seen it all. I know exactly what to do. And then run my plan right into the ground. Run it into the ground and then take a couple things of dirt and throw it on top of it. Because that's what it turned out to be, was my plan. I should have slowed down. I should have turned to God. I should have sat down and bowed my head and prayed, is what I should have done. And God comes to me, fixes my mistake, and says, "Hey, brother, remember me? I've been running this the whole time. And you missed this one." Thankfully, I'm thankful that I hear that. I'm thankful that he comes and tells me. I'm thankful that when I'm wondering why, and I'm shown a scripture that says, "This is why, Brother Jimmy, this is why." And then what happens to it? It becomes really clear, does it not? You can't read it any other way. You can't see it any other way once God's shown it to you. Because you know through your faith in him and what he's proved to you that it's real. And it's more real. It's the realest thing you've ever had. And you can't get it anywhere else. Matter of fact, you go and try sometimes. Because when we walk with the Lord, we experience. I love my everything. We go out here, next thing you know, we're not getting what we think. People don't deal with us that way. The world won't deal with us in that fashion. It's like Peter says, Peter in 1 Peter 4, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange," 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire and trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You, God's child, you're going to face persecution in this world. Because you rely on God, you're a little lamb, and Satan has a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But God hadn't left us defenseless. God hadn't left us. He didn't just leave us here and say, "Well, if I got him eternally, y'all figure it out. See you when I come back." Aren't you thankful that God didn't do that and just let us go any old way? Aren't you thankful that God didn't leave it up to me or you or some other man or something you got to do or some prayer you got to pray or some walk you got to walk or some action you got to take? Aren't you glad he didn't leave that part up to you or me or brother daddy to do? Does that sound like a sure thing? I can't wake my dear wife up on time. If she asked me to get up at 5:30, and I'm thinking I'm coming in at 5:41 doing all right. Aren't you glad that wasn't your eternal salvation? Aren't you glad that wasn't your salvation for the day? Going back to Colossians. And there's so much here I won't get to. "Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." That old man has been crucified in Christ. On the cross, never to be remembered from us again. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Not after the image of the first man, Adam, but of the second man, Christ, We're renewed in the knowledge of Him and what we know about Him and what we've learned from Him and what He's done for us, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That means doesn't matter where you come from, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you come from this way or that way, it's Christ, it's Jesus, it's how things work. Everything points to Christ, comes from Christ, and then goes back to Christ. And that inner man is renewed on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that means we're going to ride this body to the grave, unless or until Christ comes back and calls us home, and we're still here waiting on it. And then we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where are we to set our affection? On things above, not on things of the earth. So cut off all this other stuff. I'm telling you, if you're going home every day and you walking with the Lord, going down the road, and then you get home and you flip on a bunch of stuff and watch it for 4 hours and wonder why you feel sick, don't flip it on. Don't flip it on. Open your Bible. Read your word. Study the law of the Lord and delight in it and think about all the good things that He's done for us in the salvation wherewith He saved us. And set our affection on things above and things of Him, and pray and seek, and ye shall find. When you have a mind to pray, please remember me. Forgive me if I've spoken, and if there's been anything that's been of any good to anyone, all glory, honor, and praise to the God. Any other that's not that, hold that to my account. God bless you. I love y'all very much.
Good sound instruction. Amen.